and look at a verse of scripture over in Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter 2. And while you're turning, finding your place, I wonder if anybody just has a testimony or you want to praise the Lord. Lord's done something for you this morning. You got something on your heart before we preach this morning. Philippians chapter 2 this morning. If you find your place, I tell you what, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I do want to say this real quick. I've got this on my heart, and I wasn't going to say it. I was going to get into the message, but I am going to say it real quick. And I was just thinking, talking about those three Hebrew boys, somebody else seeing that fourth man and all that stuff. You know, a lot of times the trials that we go through, they're not always for us. I mean, they are, but they're not always for us. A lot of times they're for somebody else. The Bible talks about how when the Lord calmed that storm, that there were with them other little ships. People were watching. Somebody else saw the fourth man. All those things. And so trials are not pleasant to the flesh. They're difficult and they're hard. But a lot of times they're for somebody else. And I'll say that whenever we were over there, Brother Ernest and Miss Wilstein's house had caught fire and all. I went over there and house was and smoking and everything, and the fire department was there and trying to get it out, get it stopped and everything. And I got so convicted and over my own spiritual life. And the Lord, He used that trial in Brother Ernest Miss Wilstein's life to just show me what kind of Christians they are. And they were trusting the Lord. They were full of faith. And me and Brother Ernest stood outside the house. There's nothing you can do. You just watch it. You know what I'm saying? You just stand there and watch. There's nothing you can do, but you just stand there and we're watching. And it struck me, and the Lord really spoke to my heart with this. We were standing there, and of course, smoke just rolling out of the house. And while we were standing there, with all that going on, Brother Ernest started talking about his neighbor who the Lord had put on his heart to witness to, and how just a week or so before that he'd gone and witnessed to him, and how the Lord was working, how they'd already been thinking about church and all these things. And he talked about how the Lord often works on both ends. And all that's true, amen. But I tell you, it struck me so profoundly because there we are watching his house burn up. And he's thinking about some lost soul that God put on his heart. And Brother Ernest, that so convicted me. And God's really used that in my life and blessed me and helped me. And I just said it to say again, our trials are not always for us. Sometimes they're for somebody else too. And I watch a lot of times people drive up and hugging Brother Ernest, Miss Wilstein's neck, and they're squalling, you know. Brother Ernest, Miss Wilstein aren't. You know, these women driving up and hugging Miss Wilstein, they're just a squalling over what's going on. And Miss Wilstein, she's not. She's full of faith. And I know there's been dark times and difficult times. And in the shock of the moment, you don't always take it in, you know. And there's been times later when it all kinds of sink in and you break down and you cry and things like that. But I tell you, the Lord just really used that trial in their life to really be a blessing to me. I'll say that, to help me. Only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can fill you with faith. Only the Lord can put a lost soul on your mind whenever your house is burning down. Amen. And that's just the God we serve. So just always trust the Lord. Amen. May God help us to always just trust Him. So let's look here at a passage in Philippians chapter 2. And I want to read you a few verses this morning and give you really just some brief, simple thoughts. Boy, it's already gotten late. So 11:30 now, a little after 11:30. But I want to give you some thoughts the Lord's given me. He's put this message on my heart. And I pray to be a blessing to us today. Philippians chapter 2, look with me in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let's pray. Father, I come before Thy throne of grace this morning. And I thank You for Your word. I pray that You'll bless the reading of it. I pray that You'll bless these simple thoughts that we have this morning, that You'll use them in our heart and our life. Lord, as we approach, or Lord, as we really arrive at, Lord, the first of this new year, the first Lord's Day of this year, first message of the year, I pray, Lord, that You would take these simple truths and drive them deep into our hearts, Lord, for the year and the days to come. Father, if You tarry, Lord, we want to continue serving You. Lord, we want to trust You. We want to stand firm on Your word, stand firm on Your promises. I ask, Lord, that You'd help us. Father, I pray for that lost soul that might be here among us this morning, that You would, Lord, convict them. I pray that Your goodness would draw them to repentance this morning, or that they would repent and believe the gospel and be born again. Father, I pray for each one of us that are saved this morning, that You would touch our hearts. Lord, fill us with faith and strength. Give us exactly what we need. We know that only You and the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, can meet every need this morning. So, Lord, I pray that You would work and help us. I pray that You'd be glorified, that Jesus would be magnified, and may we see no man save Jesus only. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look here in this passage this morning, you have to kind of back up a little bit, and we're not going to go read it. I'll just kind of give you the overview of the first part of this chapter, what he's dealing with. He uses there in verse number 12 the word wherefore. And that word wherefore lets you know that whatever he's about to say after that is alluding to what he's already said, what he's already talked about. And so if you back up and look to what he's already been talking about, what he's already been dealing with, you'll find that in verse 5 all the way down through verse 11, somewhere around in there, he's really been dealing with the humility of Jesus Christ, the humility of our Lord. How it says in verse number 8, look there, it says, "And being found in fashion of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross." And so all through there, that's really what he's dealing with. In verse 7, if you back up, he talks about Him, Christ, making Himself of no reputation, but taking upon Him the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, all those things. And so he's dealing with the humility of Christ and how He humbled Himself. And so Christ is our example. That's what we want to be like. Isn't that right? We want to be like Christ. We want to be like Him. And so he says in verse 12, "Wherefore?" In other words, because I've already been talking about the Lord, in light of the humility of Jesus, let me make these comments to you, okay? Because Jesus is so humble, let me tell you some of this stuff. And that's whenever he writes the verses that we just read. He talks about their obedience. He talks about God in verse number 13, working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so... really, he's dealing with us trusting the Lord and surrendering to His will and doing what He would have us to do, us humbling ourselves to the will of God in light of Christ's humility. Because it's the Lord who is working His will in us. It's the Lord that's working His desires into us. That's what, whenever he talks about to will, that's talking about the desires of God. God has a desire for you and a plan for you, and He's working to will and to do of His pleasure. So he doesn't just have desires and have plans for you, but He's actually wanting to work those things out too. And those things are His good pleasure. And what He's talking about is humbling ourselves to that will, taking upon ourselves the form of a servant, taking upon ourselves the death of the cross, dying to our ego and dying to our desires and dying to our will and ambitions, to let the Lord's will be done in us, because that's what Jesus did. And that's what we want to be like. We want to be like Christ. Amen. And so as we look here, that really is the context. That is what he is dealing with. He's dealing with you and me doing His will. He's dealing with God's will being done in and through us. He's letting us know that anything that takes place in our life, God has His hand in it. God is either actively doing it, or He's allowing it. It is going on because it is His will. Amen? And so in a sense, He's actually giving us some insight into the things that God does and the things that God will do. Amen? And I'm so glad that the Lord hasn't just done things in my life, but He's doing things in my life right now. And I'm thankful that there are things that He's going to do, that He will do in my life. Listen, He that has begun a good work in you shall perform it. Amen. He's going to keep on performing that work. And I'm glad I'm not keeping myself saved. And I'm glad I'm not keeping myself going spiritually. It's God that does that. Amen. It's the same faith that saved me and the same grace that saved me is what will keep me saved. It'll be the same. Listen, it takes just as much grace to keep you saved as it does to save you in the beginning. Amen? Because we're so wicked and our flesh is so ungodly. Boy, it's just the grace of God that He'd keep us saved. Amen? Listen, it's not in me. It's not in you. Listen, if it was up to us, we'd have walked away a long time ago. We'd have given it all up a long time ago. But it is His grace working in us. And so there are things that He will continue to do in us. Now, with all that in mind, I think about this is the first message that you're going to hear for the year so far, at least from me, unless you've listened to somebody else. And if I'm the first one, I'm sorry that you have to hear me as the first one, but I do hope and pray that God will maybe help to stir us with some simple thoughts regarding what God will do this year. And so I want to preach to you for a few minutes on what God will do in 2022. What God will do. I asked Hannah if she was excited about hearing that preach this morning. She didn't know that was the actual title of my message. And it really wasn't at the time until she responded and said, no, I don't want to hear that. That's pretty cheesy. And so that's the moment I knew that's what I'm going to title my message. What God will do in 2022. We're at the second day of the year, the first Lord's Day of the year, first message of the year, first assembly of the year. And you know, as we look out this whole year, the year ahead of us, you know, I think 2 years ago, 2020, every preacher in America preached on 2020 vision, first Sunday of the year, you know, and that didn't work out, you know. And then the next year, 2021, I was trying to think of what every preacher preached in 2021. I think it was everybody get a gun for 2021, you know. And so, listen, we don't know how things are going to work out. We approach the year, and even I do that. I mean, I approach the year with our church in mind and the ministry in mind and try to look ahead and plan things. I mean, I've already talked about planning meetings and camps that we're going to try to go to and maybe a summer trip that we'd like to do. And yeah, there's a lot that we want to get done. And it takes planning. It takes wisdom. And we understand all those things. Amen. Listen, the Lord, I believe the Lord wants us to plan and be wise. The Bible talks about wisdom. But, you know, the truth is we don't know what's going to happen this year. I mean, everybody thought it was going to be a great year, a year of vision, you know, 2020 vision. Let's realize God's vision for us in 2020. And by March, everybody had wadded up their church calendars and thrown them in the trash. That's what I did. Amen. I mean, we had it all planned out. We were going to have Bible conference and we were going to do missions conference and we were going to do all this stuff. And by March, that thing was in the trash, man. I done forgot. We didn't know what was going to happen, you know. And that's the way it is this year. We don't know what's going to happen. Isn't that right? I mean, God is in control of that. But there's one thing that we do know, and that is that there are some things that God will do this year. No matter what. No matter what happens, no matter what takes place worldwide or nationally or in our community or in your family or even in your life as an individual, there are some things that God will do this year. Amen? And so, you know, as we look out, we think about it, in one sense, this year really is like any other year before. You know it? I mean, for over 6,000 years now, years have come and years have gone. And each one has started and ended just like the last one. I mean, various things have happened, but every year's come to an end, and a new year has started, and year after year, one after the other, we've had, and time has continued to march on. And so we can expect really many of the same things in the world this year as in every other year that's come. We can still expect men to be sinners. We can still expect men to be wicked. Amen. We can still expect things to wax worse and worse. We can still expect false prophets to abound. Listen, we can still expect the church to the great falling away to continue to take place. Listen, don't expect the church to grow this next year. Expect it to wane. Expect more people to fall out. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily will happen. And I don't want to put, water on your fire. I believe God can do anything, don't you? I mean, I believe He can bless us here and He can save people and add to the church. And I look for Him to do that. But I'm talking about as a whole, in general, among this world system. Listen, don't expect, man, things to really take off spiritually. Listen, we in the last days. I just was reading yesterday, Brother Roger Tooley had shared an article over in Britain. And this past year, for the first time in close to a thousand years, the article said that less than 50% of Brits, it said, British people, affiliate as Christian now. Less than half. For the first time in almost a thousand years, it has dipped under the at least 50% range. And they expect by next year that it will be less than 40%. It's dropping that fast. The affiliation. Listen, and that is worldwide, man. That's America. America has got a lower church attendance rate today as we sit here this morning than she has ever had, man. People are falling away. People have grown cold concerning the things of God, concerning spiritual things. And it's not that they're going to other religions. It's that they're unaffiliated. They don't believe in anything. They don't believe in anything. And I expect more of the same this year. Why? Because men are sinners and these are the last days. And we just, we expect that. And so what I'm simply saying is that in one sense, this year's like any other year. We can expect more of the same, especially from the world. We can expect it to be the way it's always is. But in another sense, this really is a year like no other year. As we approach this year, really, we've never seen some of the things that we are seeing until now. So many things are unprecedented and we are in uncharted waters. You know, many things in the world, they're different now than they've ever been. We're seeing things that we've never seen. And one thing I'll say is that we're closer to Christ's return than we've ever been. Isn't that right? And I don't know about you, but it seems like we can just feel it in the air. I don't know. Seems like there is something in the air. Seems like you can feel it. Seems like you can sense it. Seems like even the world senses it. Amen? That something is about to happen. And I tell you what I think is about to happen. I think Jesus is about to come. And I'm not one for setting dates, and I'm not saying He's going to come this year, but I'm saying He might, and He probably will. Amen. I'm not saying He's coming today, but He might, and He probably will. Amen. If you're going to go, you better get ready. Amen. I tell you, this thing is winding down, and we've seen things that we've never seen before. We've seen unprecedented wickedness and unprecedented evil in this world like we've never seen. And so this year is like every other year, but in one sense, it's not like every other year. Amen. I tell you, Jesus is about to come. Amen? And we're living in the last days. And just because many things are the same, just because men are still sinners, and just because there's just as much evil in the world, and just because wickedness is abounding, that doesn't mean that we can't change things in our life. That doesn't mean that God can't change things in our families. And that doesn't mean God can't bring revival to your heart and bring revival to our church and bring revival in our lives. It doesn't mean that God can't draw us close to Him and do a great work in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm personally looking forward to the greatest year ever. I personally am looking forward to an exciting year, looking forward to what God is going to do this year, the doors He is going to open, how He's going to bless, how He's going to work. I really am. I'm looking forward to that. Because, yes, this world is wicked, but these are the most exciting days we've ever lived in. Amen? This is the day of grace. This is the church age, and it's coming to an end. And we're about to be ushered into a whole new dispensation. Amen? And God can still work in these days, and I believe that He will. He will if we want Him to. So now, no matter what things look like, listen, there's potential for this year to be a great year. And it's not because of what we do. Not because of what you do or what you don't do, how good you are, whatever, how much you try. It's simply because of who we serve. It's because of who He is. It's because of who God is. It's not because of who the president is. or who the president could have been. Amen? Listen, even if our man, you know, or your man had won the president, listen, we wouldn't have a great year because of him. We wouldn't be having a great year because of a great economy or a great... Listen, we wouldn't be having a great year because of anything other than because of who God is. That is what all the potential is wrapped up in, and all the power and energy of the whole thing is wrapped up in. It is in God and in God alone. Amen? I believe this. If we'll do what He'll bless, He'll bless it. Don't you? And so... we know that there is potential for the year because of what God is going to do this year. Now, we can't know every detail. You say, Brother Jack, are you preaching on what God's going to do in 2022? Preaching your cheesy title that your wife didn't like because she didn't like it. But really, how can you even know what God's going to do in 2022? Well, I'll tell you this, I don't know every detail. None of us know every detail. None of us know how it's all, you know, all the minute things. Listen, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't know what's around every corner specifically. But there are some things that we can know of a surety that God will do this year if He tarries. Now, if you're saved and serving God, you can expect these things. Let me just pause for a second and say this. And I'm giving you a long introduction to give you, hopefully, a short message. I know it's getting late. But if you're not saved, you can expect the opposite of these things. So just keep in mind that anything I say and whatever I preach this morning, really, it's for saved people. It's for God's people. It's for God's children, those that have been born again, the sons and daughters of God. But if you're not saved, just keep in mind that you can expect the opposite of this year. So let me give you about four things of what you expect God to do in 2022. What you can expect from God. First of all, number one, you can expect safety. Now, this is a chaotic world, and there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and if it's not one virus, it's another virus, and if it's not one variant, it's another, and if it's not one vaccine, it's another, and if it's not one thing, it's another. If it's not Russia invading, it's China invading. If it's not one thing, it's another. If it's not somebody shooting somebody, it's somebody stabbing somebody. I mean, these are perilous times, are they not? I mean, in these last days, with every day that goes by, it seems like the world gets more perilous. Isn't that right? And, I mean, listen, if somebody doesn't kill you can die in a car wreck on your way home. I mean, listen, we are in dangerous times, dangerous days. But one thing is for sure, that if you are saved by the grace of God, you can expect safety this year. You say, how do you know that, Brother Jacob? Because I've got a Bible. Now, I'm not saying you're going to survive this year and you're going to make it this year. And I'm not saying no accidents will happen and nothing terrible will take place. But one thing I do know is that God has got His eye on you, and God knows right where you are, and nothing will come into your life except He is not in full control of it. God is the one that keeps us safe. In Psalm chapter 91 and verse number 15, it says, He shall call upon me. God, referring to the psalmist, He said, He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. You have never gotten into too deep of a valley that you won't be able to call on God, and He will hear you and He will deliver you. Amen? He may not deliver you from your trouble, but He will deliver you in your trouble. Amen? God will always be there, and standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll always find Jesus. Amen? And I don't know what's going to happen in this world. I don't know every detail, but one thing I do know is that God is going to keep us safe. Amen? And if something happens that we don't understand, God will be in control of it. He said in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And God hasn't forsaken us in 2022. Amen. God is still with us. He is still for us. We are in the majority. We're on the winning side. And no army can come against us that God can't overthrow. Amen. There's no king that would come to a throne that God cannot cut down. God is in full control, and He will take care of you and me. You can expect safety. That is what God is going to do in 2022. He's going to keep us safe. He is. Psalm chapter 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Amen. I tell you, God's watching out for us. Stonewall Jackson, that great man of God and general in the war between the the war of northern aggression. Amen. And I know they're rewriting the history with all that, but Stonewall Jackson was a man of God. I tell you, you go back and read about his life, he's a greater Christian than any of us were. Amen. And a great general. And God used him. And he said this. He said, "My religious beliefs teach me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time of my death. I do not concern myself with that, but to be always ready whenever it may overtake me. That is the way all men should live, and all men would be equally brave." Amen. There is nothing that will put bravery and courage in your heart like knowing that God is watching out for you, and there's nothing that will take your life except God allows it to. Amen. Listen to me. I've not lost one second sleep over coronavirus or anything else, worried about that, because I know that God has fixed that time. Our days are numbered. Our days are in His hands. Amen. And listen, the day will come that you will die, and God knows when that day is. And it may be coronavirus, or it may be cancer, or it may be a Mack truck out there, but one of these days we're all going to die, and we know that we'll stand before God, so you better be ready. Amen. And one thing I can promise you, it will not happen one second before God wants it to happen. And with all this going on in our world, you can expect safety in 2020. That's something God's going to do. Amen. Even in these last days, we know that Jesus said in Matthew 28, closing out the gospel, He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." Nothing will grip you and put you in prison like a snare or like fear. Nothing will put you in snare, put you in a trap like fear will. I tell you, people get so gripped, and we've seen that in our society, that people have gotten so gripped with fear and scared to death that they're willing to let just the most nonsensible things take place and go on. I mean, I just saw the other day, people wearing masks got holes in them. College bands wearing masks with holes in them so they can play their instruments and wear a mask at the same time. Listen, that does not even make sense. But I tell you what that is. That is fear. People are scared to death. They're willing to do anything if they could just be safe. And so when someone steps on the scene and promises them safety if they just do this, no matter how silly it is, people will do it. By the way, that's how the Antichrist is going to take over. Amen? He's going to promise people peace and safety, and this world will be so rocked, and this world will be so full of chaos that people will just roll over and say, "Well, He's got all the answers, and so we'll follow Him." Amen? And so the fear of man brings a snare. But look at what he says. He says, "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Amen. In 2022, you expect God to keep you safe. You can also expect strength this year. You can expect safety, but you can expect strength. In Isaiah 41, God told the prophet in verse 10, He said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That's what God told the man of God. Now someone would say, "Well, that's what he said to him, but he's now saying that to us." So I'll tell you what that does. That reveals to us the heart and the character of God. That is the way God is towards His people. And that's not just for one individual in one particular setting. That is who God is. That is His character. His character is that if He has called you and He has saved you and He's using you and you're one of His children, He will strengthen you. He will take care of you. And listen, there's no amount of evil or bad or wickedness in this day where there won't be sufficient strength to be found in it all. God's promised us strength for every day. You know, Jude, verse 24, said, "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling." God's the one keeping us. And there's never going to be things that will be so bad that sufficient strength can't be found in it all. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 6, when he's about to talk about the armor of God, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." His might. I'll tell you something you can expect from God is strength. But you're not going to find it in yourself this year. Anytime we lean on our own understanding, even anytime we try to do anything in the energy of the flesh, it's going to fail every time. Amen? But if we will lean on the Lord, and if we will trust the Lord, and if we will look to Him in everything we face, listen, we will always find strength. This is an evil day we're living in. But there's been a lot of evil days throughout history. I mean, could it really be more evil than what it was in Noah's day? And yet Noah found strength from the Lord. I mean, even Elijah, we just read, and Jeremiah, many of those prophets, I mean, they preached judgment, and they were in evil days, but God always strengthened them and gave them what they needed. And I'm telling you that 2022 will be no different. God will still give us strength. Amen. And then security. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, he said, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." You know, a lot of people, they seek security and money and insurance, stocks and bonds and houses and lands and all those things. Brother Ernest Wilson, I found out that as secure as you may feel in that stuff, it might be here today and gone tomorrow. Ain't that right? Found that out firsthand. I mean, you can think that you're set, and you can think that you've got your ducks lined up, your ducks in a row. You can think that you've got the perfect job, the perfect career, and I'm going to work this job till I retire, and then I'll retire at this age, and then I'll just live my life and just have everything set the way that you want it and the way that you think it'll go. I'm telling you, God will jerk the rug out from under that. It may not ever turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. Everything we have may be here today and gone tomorrow. Amen. I mean, they found that out back in the market crash of 29. Ain't that right? People had their whole lives invested in a market that collapsed overnight. And suddenly they went from having everything to having nothing. People jumping off skyscrapers, taking their life because they just didn't want to live. Because their life was all wrapped up. Their security was found in things. Listen, you'll never find real security in things. You'll never find real security in people. You'll never find real security in anything. The only real security to be found is what's in the Lord. Well, that makes me think about Job. Well, if there's anyone that's an example of having real security, it's Job. Which is weird to say from the natural perspective because Job had it all, then he lost it all in a 24-hour period. He lost his finances. He lost his health. He lost his children. I mean, he lost everything. There was no area of his life untouched where he did not lose it all. No area that you could point to that he did not lose everything. And yet he had real security. Because in light of that all, he still just trusted the Lord. And by the way, Job didn't know what was going on at the time. Job had no idea what had gone on in heaven. He had no idea the conversation that had taken place in heaven. He had no idea that God had recommended him for those trials. He had no idea. All he knew was he was just where he is, and he had it all, and it was gone. Even his friends, if you can call them friends, I mean, they were telling Job, it's because your friend, it's because of your sin, it's because God has done this to you. You look back at even those messengers that came. They talked about the fire of God falling. We know it wasn't the fire of God. The devil did that. But Job just trusted the Lord. And just trusting the Lord, really, that's really the only security that can be found. And one thing I can promise you is that in this year to come, no matter what happens in this world, if we'll trust the Lord, we'll find real security. In fact, that's the only real security to be found in this world, in this life. Last of all, let me give you this quickly. Last of all, what's God going to do in 2022? You can expect serenity. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus makes a statement here, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'll give you rest. That's really the only place true rest can be found, isn't it? You know, the year ahead is a vast unknown. We don't know what will happen based on the past 2 years. Looks like a lot of crazy things will probably happen if it's anything like what it has been. But no matter what, we can have peace in the world and peace that this world knows not of. I want to show you a verse over in Psalm 37. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. And I want you to turn there because I want you to see them. I'm going to read you these verses and we're going to close. But if you look with me in Psalm 37, I'll be honest with you, I'd like to read this whole chapter. For sake of time, we're just going to read the first few verses. But look at what God says through David here in this psalm. Well, these are very profound verses. Amen. He says in verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Well, I thought about that verse when I read that verse. And I thought, man, look at the way people have acted over this so-called stolen election and this virus, so-called virus. I mean, look at the way people respond. Fretting over evildoers. God said, "Fret not thyself over evildoers." He said, "Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Ever look at somebody in sin and be envious of what they've got and envious of their life and envious of their lifestyle? Never think for a second, "Well, they've got it so much better than me." He says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him." Someone said the other day that the only thing worse than patiently waiting on the Lord is wishing you had. Amen. He said, wait patiently for Him. Then he says it again, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yet thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." I tell you, if we get a hold of those verses, get a hold of every promise that God's made us, I tell you, we can face all the chaos and the upheaval of whatever may take place in this world. We can face it with serenity in our soul, with peace in our soul, knowing that God's in control of it all. And you can expect that in your life. I don't know of all what's going to happen. I don't know what all God's going to do specifically, but I know He's going to do these things. I know He's going to keep us safe. I know He's going to give us strength. I know He's going to keep us secure, and I know He can give us serenity in our lives. Now, if you're not saved, I can't promise you any of this. Matter of fact, if you're not saved, you can't expect safety. You know what the lost person is? The lost person is hanging out over hell by a thread. And at any moment, their life could be cut off and they wind up there for eternity. I can't promise you safety. And I can't promise the lost person that everything in their life is working together for good. I can't promise them that. That's only for them that love God. I can't promise strength. I can't promise security. I can't promise serenity. I can't promise anything. Matter of fact, the lost person gets the opposite of those things. But for those of us that are saved, we can be sure that God will do these things in our lives this year. He's never let us down before this. So you know what I say? I say we just press on. Keep on serving God. Now, I'm not necessarily for New Year's resolutions and all that stuff. I'm not necessarily, you know, if you do that, that's fine. But, you know, January 1st of every year, we meet all these new people. You know, they've never been what they are going to be before, you know. And so, not necessarily for New Year's resolutions, but I will say this, with a new year and a year ahead, knowing all of these things that the Lord will do for us, you know what might be a good time to do? Might be a good time to get thoroughly clean with God, get thoroughly right with God, and maybe make the commitments that God has been already dealing with your heart about. Not a New Year's resolution. not losing 50 pounds and all that stuff. I mean, I'm for it. If you want to do that, that's fine. But what about the things that God has been dealing with your heart last year that you never surrendered? What about all the things that God's wanted you to do that you just haven't done yet? What about the direction God's wanted you to go that you haven't gone? I tell you, God's blessed us so much, and He's going to bless us so much this year if we're saved. Why wouldn't we start this year out getting thoroughly clean, thoroughly right, and committed, giving our lives to the Lord? And who knows that as bad as things are, this might be the most spiritual year of our lives. This might be the greatest year our church has ever seen. We might see God do more than we've ever seen Him do. He will do it. If we will, He will. And so, I don't know where any of us might be, but I do know what God will do. And it ought to make us love Him and trust Him and serve Him more. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to pray. Brother Ernest is going to get us a song ready. And I'd invite you to come. If the Lord's dealt with your heart, it'd be a good time to start the year and start things out. Just getting thoroughly right, thoroughly clean with God. Trusting Him this year and getting committed, going further with God. There's no telling what He might do in our life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for helping us with Your Word. I pray that You'll bless it. Help us all to respond the way it'd be pleasing to You. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.